Chapter 21. Stiles knows that there are a lot of people who would probably crack under the pressure of being shunned at school, but he's not one of them. Actually, he's enjoying the hell out of it. People won't even look at him. If he tries to strike up a conversation with someone, which he does occasionally to see the looks on their faces, they stare at him before quickly walking away. His teachers are doing it too, with the exception of his math teacher, Miss Schiffer. Well, and Finstock, but Jim has officially been turned into a study hall, which he spends in the library. He raises his hand in class, but they won't call on him. When he hands in his assignments, or gets them back, it's a wordless exchange. The only person who seems upset about the shunning is Danny, who has found himself an unhappy recipient of the same treatment. Jackson still isn't back in school. Stiles has heard rumors that he's going to take incompletes in most of his coursework and then probably transfer to the other mundane high school for summer school. As far as Stiles can tell, that's completely unnecessary. Both Derek and his father have been dropping heavy hints that they want him to transfer to Cora's school for his junior year. He's hedging on the issue. As a member of the pack, he can attend the supernatural high school even though he's not a supernatural creature, but Scott can't. And he's not about to leave Scott behind, so he's put off discussing it. It's times like this that he wishes he was in better standing with Talia. He's fairly sure that she could arrange for Scott to transfer as well, but he doesn't know how to ask her. To be honest, if Stiles had his way, he would love to bring Scott into the pack. Scott is his brother, for one thing, and secondly, Stiles is really sick of long winter nights in the ER while his friend tries to get in enough air to stay alive. He's pretty sure that the bite would at least improve his asthma, if not outright cure it, but he doesn't know how to ask Talia about that either. In any case, Stiles has struck up a cautious friendship with Danny, partly to show that there are no hard feelings, and partly because Danny really is taking the shunning poorly. As someone who has been unpopular his whole life, Stiles is fine with it. But Danny has always been social, and he's that step above popular, the guy that everyone honestly likes. "They'll get over it," Stiles assures him. "Over the summer, they'll forget all about it. Once lacrosse season starts, you'll make some spectacular save and then you'll be adored again." "I hope so," Danny says with a sigh. "I mean, not that I don't. I kind of deserve it." "There are all kinds of courage," Stiles says. "It takes a great deal of bravery to stand up to our enemies, but just as much to stand up to our friends." Danny frowns. "That sounds familiar." "Albus Dumbledore," Stiles says, biting into an apple, and Danny laughs. He's now passing every class with an A, with the exception of history, in which he has a B. He supposes this is because of the paper he wrote, which compared his teacher to Helen of Troy, and was basically all about how nobody would start a war on his behalf. Even outside teachers hadn't looked on that comparison favorably, although he's pretty sure they found it hilarious. He can handle a B in history. It'll drop his GPA, but he doesn't really want to be valedictorian anyway. His grades are still good enough to get into any school that he wants. In any case, there are only 2 weeks left. He'll survive. He'll be fine. Which is why his heartbeat skyrockets when the intercom crackles in the middle of history class, and the secretary says there's an announcement. His entire body goes tense, poised to run like an antelope scenting a lion. "It has come to my attention that an announcement was made not too long ago on behalf of Stiles Stilinski, although without his permission, detailing his feelings about me, Derek Hale, and my physical attributes." It's Derek's voice on the intercom, loud and clear and beautifully confident. Stiles feels his jaw sag open. He looks over at Scott as if to say, "What the hell, did you tell him?" And sees Scott grinning broadly. "Ah, this, then, is the surprise Derek was asking about at the barbecue. I would like to put some of my feelings and opinions in response to this on the public record. I, Derek Hale, absolutely want a piece of Stiles Stilinski. In fact, I want all the pieces in their current, highly attractive configuration. Oh my god, Styles mumbles, flushing red, but nonetheless enjoying the hell out of the stunned, jealous stares that everyone is giving him. I'm particularly fond of his long, long legs, Derek continues, and his mouth, both when he's speaking and when he's using it for other things, such as kissing me. Also, have I mentioned his hands and his fingers? Because I feel that I should. His fingers in particular are unfair. I have fantasies about his hands. Detailed ones. Holy shit, dude! Scott blurts out, and Styles starts laughing nearly hysterically. I would furthermore like to add that although I am quite happily planning to spend the rest of my life with Styles, I would sooner stab myself in the face with a fork than spend 5 minutes in a room with any of the rest of you. Except you, Scott. You're okay. There's a pause, and then, should any of you doubt that this is actually Derek Hale speaking, I'll be in the main office waiting for a while. The intercom clicks off. Everyone is staring. Styles jolts to his feet and says, Mr. Swanson, I gotta go. I'll be right back. And then he darts out of the room without waiting to get permission. He jogs down to the main office, where Derek is, true to his word, sitting there reading a book. Styles pulls the door open and says to him, Oh my god, are you insane? You are! I'm dating a crazy person! Derek looks up. Despite his words, Styles smells of happiness and hormones, so Derek smirks as he puts a bookmark in to hold his place and stands up to meet his mate. When he does, the smirk morphs into that little smile that he keeps for Styles. All of it was true, he says, and shrugs before reaching out to him. Besides, I couldn't leave everything for Uncle Peter to set right. He sobers a little and adds, I haven't listened to the tape, though. It's private and yours. So, how did you know what to say? Oh, God, Peter listened to it, Styles says. Well, that's it. I'm never going to be able to show my face in your house again. Because of Peter? You know he'd just come find you. Ugh, that is so true. I love him, but he's totally a creeper. Styles shifts from foot to foot. Several teenagers pass by the office, craning their necks to look inside. Styles rolls his eyes a little, but doesn't comment on it. So, you're gonna pick me up after school in, like, an hour, right? Because, you really should. Then I will. Derek shoves a hand down into his pocket, pulls out the jump drive, and holds it out to Styles. The only copy. Styles holds his hand out, but then folds Derek's fingers over it. Cheeks flushed pink, he says, You should listen to it. You know, I heard what you had to say, after all. Before I pick you up? Absolutely, Styles says. I can do that. With that, Derek leans in and kisses Styles in a way that should not be done in a school office. Styles pulls away only a few moments later, slightly out of breath. If you want me to go back to class, you'd better cut that shit out, he says. Derek steps back. Yeah, I'll pick you up. Okie dokie. Styles turns and leaves the office as another group of students gawk by. Yo, hop off my mate's D, assholes! Styles shouts at them. You're the worst, Derek calls after him. Styles heads back to class with a mile-wide smirk on his face. The teacher who's been chosen to substitute for Jimenez until the end of the year just gives a little headshake when he walks back in. Like he's thinking about issuing some sort of punishment, but decided it would be pointless. Everyone's staring at him. Scott is snickering, both hands covering his mouth, clearly enjoying the moment. Since there's obviously no way to make everyone stop staring, Styles just addresses the class in the exact same words he had used on the tape. Derek Hale totally wants a piece of me, he says, smirking. Totally, Scott says, and chortles. Mr. Swanson sighs. Please take your seat, Mr. Stilinski, he says, so Styles does. He tries his best to concentrate on the lesson that's going on. It's extremely difficult. He's thinking of Derek driving home to listen to the recording. He knows that Derek still has trouble believing that he's attractive since the fire. Hopefully the repeated compliments to his biceps, torso, and ass will get through. He wonders where Derek will listen to it. His room? On his bed? In the bathroom where he'll have two layers of walls for privacy? Will he only listen to it once, or will he listen to it repeatedly? When he's done listening to it, what then? Will he... Stiles realizes that history class is maybe not the best place to be thinking about these things. He needs a cold shower. To distract himself, he takes out his phone and texts Scott. Don't suppose you thought to record that? Across the classroom, he sees Scott's wide grin. Got you covered, bro. He texts back. Sweet, Stiles replies. So now he can listen to Derek's little speech on repeat. He can listen to it at home, or maybe in the shower if he gets a waterproof iPod for Christmas like he wants, or any time he wants. He is not going to survive until last period. When the bell rings, he doesn't even dare get out of his seat. His pants are not loose enough to hide the fantastic boner he has. He's thoroughly enjoying it, really, and all the fantasies that are causing it, but he really doesn't want anyone to see it. Scott walks by his desk, laughing, and drops a sweatshirt into Stiles' lap. You are the best, man, Stiles calls after him. The absolute best. He gets up with the sweatshirt draped over one arm to drape strategically over his crotch. I love you, he shouts after the quickly retreating teenager. He has one more class after history. It's one of his rotating periods, and today it's chemistry. He greets Mr. Harris with a wide grin, wondering what he thought of the announcement. Harris looks like he wants to murder somebody. Stiles wouldn't be particularly surprised to hear the man say, "We're doing a lab today," and then try to slip hydrochloric acid into Stiles' beaker. Instead, he barks out that they're having a pop quiz. There are groans of disbelief and anguish. Stiles sees Scott grimace and gives him a wince of apology. Harris goes around the classroom, slapping down sheets of paper face down until everyone has them. Begin! Stiles flips the piece of paper over and stares at it. It's so advanced that it might as well be in Greek. He chews on the end of the pencil. He knows that some of this is stuff they've gone over in class, but not much of it, and he dimly recognizes some of it from reading he's done on Wikipedia. He sneaks a glance over at Scott and sees that he's already scribbling. So is almost everyone else. So that's how it is, he thinks, and raises his hand. Harris ignores him, pretending not to notice, so he clears his throat. Still no response, so he shrugs and says, Mr. Harris, I think you gave me the wrong paper. Quiet, Harris snaps at him. If you don't know the answers, just leave them blank. None of this was covered in class, Stiles says. Oh, really? Harris says. Is anybody else having a problem? No. Well then, Mr. Stilinski, I suppose you just haven't been paying enough attention. Stiles glances over at Scott's quiz. His quiz has different questions. Are you looking at another student's work during the quiz? Harris asks. That's cheating, Mr. Stilinski. Stiles lets out a sigh. Well, he supposes, if nothing else, this has been an excellent boner killer. So he stands up, carries his quiz to the front, and hands it in. Every eye on the classroom is on him as he goes back to his desk and takes out his phone. Unless you want a detention, Mr. Stilinski, Harris snaps, but Stiles is already dialing. Hey, Mrs. Hale? Yeah, I'm sorry to bother you at work, but... Harris's face is slowly turning red. He takes one of the quiz papers that the other students had gotten, marches over to Stiles' desk, and slaps it down. Get to work, he snarls. Oh, never mind, Stiles says into his phone. I cleared it up. Uh-huh. Thanks. Everyone is still watching him. Lasagna. Okay, see you at 6. He hangs up, sits down, and picks up his pencil. Oh, this looks much better, he says. Honest mistake, right? Anyone could have done it. Harris just glowers at him, and Stiles grins and starts filling out the answers. He had been somewhat disappointed that Harris had survived Talia's scathing treatment of the school without more than a few bruises, but somehow this is even better. Forcing Harris to toe the line and acknowledge that Stiles has power over him is enough to completely restore his good mood. When he finishes the quiz, still easily 5 minutes before half his classmates, despite his late start, his mind drifts back into the much more pleasant thoughts of what he's going to get to do after school. When the bell rings, Derek is in his usual place by the front entrance, but when Stiles comes out, he doesn't throw himself at the older man in his usual way. It isn't because he's upset, Derek doesn't think. He doesn't smell or look upset. He looks kind of desperate. His hands are twitching a little, and the smell of pheromones nearly knocks Derek off his feet. I have spent the last 2 hours trying to decide whether you're going to hold me to that I can't give you my dick yet manifesto, Stiles says as he approaches. There are plenty of things we can do without your dick, Derek informs him. But can we do them without my dick enjoying them? I don't think so, Derek. I really do not. I said you couldn't give me your dick, not that you had to pretend it didn't exist, because that would be weird. He opens the door to the car. Speaking of, Peter caught me on the way up to my room and gave me this talk on werewolves and refractory period. Jesus Christ. Stiles' face splits into a wide grin. You liked the recording that much, huh? I did like the recording that much, actually. Derek eyes Stiles as he slides into the car. But, that was on my way up to my room to listen to it. Yeah, well, that's Uncle Peter for you, Stiles says cheerfully. Inappropriate at the best of times. Did you seriously wear a white V-neck to torture me, or what? That's only my kryptonite if it's raining, and it's sunny out. Although, if you wanted to duck into a shower to fulfill my fantasies, I so would not argue with you. Let's save that one for a different day, Derek says. Okay, but after today I get to do things to you with my hands, right? Stiles says, giving Derek a smile so innocent that he nearly runs over a pedestrian. Don't do that while I'm driving. It was just a suggestion, Stiles says. So where are we going? Somewhere private. Any preferences? Derek asks. How much trouble will I get in if I say my place? Stiles asks brightly. Is your father home, or likely to be home before 8 p.m.? He's at work, duh. But, you're aware it's only 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right? I mean, you don't think we can actually keep going for 5 hours, do you? Oh shit, you totally do! Stiles is starting to get excited. 5 hours? That must be one hell of a talk on refractory periods that you got. Derek starts laughing. I'm not Sting. I was thinking that we may want more than one round, and that we may need food in between. Way to burst my bubble, dude, Stiles says. And also, your pop culture references are about 2 decades out of date, and that's adorable. It isn't out of date if it hasn't been replaced, Derek defends. Stiles just gives him a fond, amused look. Whatever. Did you know people ask me all the time why I don't just buy an e-reader for my books? I'm okay being out of date. Philistines, Stiles agrees. Anyway, my dad will probably be home around 5, so we could sneak in at least 1 round before he gets home. And then we can run away, screaming. Or maybe sneak away, stealthily. Absolutely. Stiles really has no idea how to go about asking Derek about the fire, given that it can't be a topic anyone in the family is fond of. In addition to that, Talia has basically forbidden anyone in the family from talking about it, so they won't be able to do it while she's home, or while anyone is home if Stiles has his way. It doesn't seem like there's any rush, but Kate's presence in Beacon Hills has him extremely nervous. If she had tried to kill the Hale family once and failed, there was nothing saying that she wouldn't try it again. And that, Stiles thinks, might finally explain why she's been interested in him, as an inside man. But he's also pretty sure that if anyone in the Hale family finds out about Kate, they'll go rip her throat out, and that would be trouble,
So far, they can't prove anything. So Styles says nothing and waits for an opportune moment. He finally gets it a few days after the barbecue, when Derek has picked him up from school and they're cruising along the back roads in the Camaro, so total privacy is assured, and Derek mentions that Peter is having a worse day than usual. So why is... Styles steals his nerves. Is it okay to ask about the fire? I mean, why is Peter so convinced that it wasn't an accident? Derek checks the rearview mirror to make sure that they're basically alone on the road, because he knows his control of everything is shaky with this topic, then slows the car, although he doesn't stop driving. Keeping his mind half on the road might make things easier. Styles is packed. He has a right to know, a right to ask. I'm, not exactly sure. Instinct, maybe. His hands tighten a little on the wheel, but he doesn't stop speaking. He doesn't talk about his reasons, and if there were... Derek licks his lips once, nervously. You know, details or specifics. I don't know them. Because I didn't know anything. Right after, I mean. I was in the hospital for a while. There's a moment of quiet. But he isn't stupid, you know? He won't look at Styles, because disagreeing with one's alpha isn't a good thing, and he shouldn't ask other pack members to do it either. So he just says it and leaves it out there. Yeah, but your mom seems like she's really smart, too, Styles says. I mean, she's a high-powered lawyer and stuff. She works really hard, and she must have her reasons for thinking Peter's wrong. Derek stops and thinks about that, because he never actually has before. It is a strange thing, upon reflection, that Peter and Talia believe such different things about the fire. I think it's a couple of things. With us, we're always wolf, and we're always human, both at the same time. One doesn't just go away when we shift forms, you know that. But I think sometimes we tend to lead with one set of instincts more than the other. Mom leans human, and Peter leans wolf. So she may be trying to apply logic? He adjusts his grip on the wheel. It's also what they lost, I think. He bites down on his lip, hard, trying to push the memories back. Mom, she lost a lot. A father and a brother and Tyler and David. His voice cracks, and he takes his foot off the gas for a moment, seeing something other than the road. And he can't get any more names out. So many people. But you can get past that. It hurts, but people can keep living after losses like that. She's our alpha now, so she needs to be okay. To keep living in the here and now and not live in what happened. But Uncle Peter lost Aunt Olivia. Derek's eyes dart over to Styles, like he's almost afraid to finish what he has to say, but he does. His mate. There's no recovering from that for us. He won't ever move on or move past it. Do we need to stop talking about this? Styles asks hesitantly. You seem upset. I don't mean to upset you. I was just curious. Derek huffs out a laugh. It's a little sick, but only a little. And not in the least bit angry. Of course you're curious. It's an Alphonse-sized elephant in almost every room Peter's in. He shakes his head a little. We don't need to stop, but you have to let me go slow and understand that I'm going to be upset. You have a right to know, and everyone else is going to either refuse to talk about it, not know anything, or be Peter. Styles fidgets a little, lacing and unlacing his fingers, wishing he had thought to bring something to do with his hands. Finally, he just says, "Do you think it was an accident?" Derek's gaze jerks over to Styles, and the car wobbles on the road a bit. The question has somehow truly startled him. He can't force the words out. He's never been asked for his opinion before. He's been left to feel or not feel whatever he wanted in silence. He wants it to have been an accident, for it to be over. but he also knows that he can't help but watch the people that Peter thinks are enemies, even though Peter sometimes makes mistakes. "Peter isn't stupid," is what he finally says. "No, well, I agree with that," Stiles says, but he doesn't push the subject. Derek is too upset, and if he truly doesn't know any details, there's no point in pushing him. He'll have to go elsewhere to get his answers. "Let's not talk about it, okay?"
Derek breathes out in a huff of relief. Okay, let's go somewhere that I can cling pathetically for a little while, and we can do something fun. "Well, I vote we go back to my place and mindlessly watch TV while we cuddle on the sofa then." "That sounds good to me," Derek says, so that's what they do. But the thought nags at Stiles. He doesn't know when Kate might make a move, what she might be up to. He's going to have to go straight to the source. Getting Peter alone is actually easier than he anticipated. He just waits a couple days and then decides to make something else with alcohol in it. Teriyaki, to be precise. His favorite recipe calls for sherry. All the other adults are at work, and Laura has the kids, so Stiles just says, "Hey, Uncle P, can you take me to the grocery? I need to get some wine for tonight's dinner." "Hmm," Peter says, and he looks a little distant, twisting his wedding ring around on his finger. "All right." In the car, it occurs to him that prodding at the subject while Peter's already having a bad day is a really stupid idea. Doing it where nobody can save him if Peter loses his shit is a profoundly stupid idea. But he can't help but think that if anybody else overhears them, they'll shut the entire conversation down. So he waits until they've gotten the shopping done, hoping that the mundane activity will ground Peter somewhat. They get back to the car and load their groceries into it, but Stiles doesn't put the car in gear. He just sits there for a moment. Peter has barely spoken a word this entire time, and Stiles knows that's a bad sign. But he steels his nerves and just blurts out, "Peter, why are you so convinced the fire wasn't an accident?" Peter's gaze slowly turns back to him, and Stiles holds his breath, afraid that he's provoked Peter past the point of tolerance. But Peter answers in a slow, measured tone, "I don't really know, Stiles. It's just something that I know in here." He touches his chest. "I wake up with it every morning, the knowledge that my family was murdered. I know it in the same way I know how to howl, the same way I feel the moon's pull, that they were taken from me." Stiles swallows. "Okay, I need to ask you something, but I need you to not freak out, okay? 'Cause it's just you and me here, and if you flip your shit, I won't be able to protect myself." "All right," Peter says slowly. "I can't promise anything, though." "I know." Stiles lets out a breath. Then he takes a handkerchief out of his pocket and holds it out to Peter. "Smell that." A faint frown touches Peter's face, but he leans over and sniffs at the handkerchief. The reaction is immediate. His eyes flare bright blue, and he stares up at Stiles, lips twisting in a snarl. "What is that?" he asks, shoulders heaving as he struggles to remain in control. "It's perfume." Moving slowly, Stiles folds the handkerchief and puts it away, tucking it into his backpack and closing it to hide the scent. "I think you smelled it the day of the fire." He keeps his words slow and deliberate. "Do you remember the day you sort of attacked me in the kitchen?" Peter frowns. "No, when was that?" "A couple weeks ago now. You said I smelled like an enemy." "I don't remember," Peter says, shaking his head. "I'm sorry." Stiles waves this aside. "Right before that, I had been at school, but I had the scent of a woman named Kate on me. She's one of the biggest anti-werewolf activists in the area. She's been trying to get me to work with her as an undercover agent. I didn't make the connection at the time, but then at the barbecue last week, you reacted almost the same way when you met Allison. Allison's her niece. She doesn't do the anti-werewolf thing, and she's really nice, but she wears the same perfume. I asked Scott about it. So that was twice that you reacted really badly to the same scent. He takes a deep breath and continues. You were the only member of the family who wasn't inside the house when the fire started. I think you must have smelled this on your way to the house and not even really noticed. Nobody else smelled it because of all the smoke, but you smelled the trail that Kate left behind when she came and went. Peter is just staring at him. It's not just that, Stiles says. It just, none of it seems right. I've been doing some research. How fast the fire spread, how quickly the house collapsed. And not just that, but how quickly the investigator signed off on it as accidental. Investigations like that can take up to months, but he signed his report a few days later. Peter is silent for a long moment. Do you know why my sister is convinced that it was an accident? He asks. Stiles shakes his head. It doesn't make sense to me. Ah, but it does, Peter says. If it was intentional, she was the target. Her family died because of her, and because she failed to protect them. It's not something she can deal with. I can't fault her for that. But if you decide to humor me, as Aaron would put it when he thinks I can't hear, or encourage my delusions, as Talia puts it when she knows I can hear, Talia will not be pleased with you. It could make things very difficult for you. Stiles considers this for a minute, then says, fuck it. Peter's expressionless face widens into a toothy smile. I do like you, Stiles, he says. Now tell me what you've learned.